Welcome to this meditation for Sunday, April the 24th. I've always been bemused by the moment in Matthew's Gospel when the newly risen Christ gives the courageous women who came early to his tomb on the first Easter his message for the disciples. "Don't be afraid," the gospel reads. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." It's hard for me to imagine it quite like that. The women were as much his sisters as the men were his brothers. And it was the women who showed faith and courage, while the male disciples huddled in seclusion and fear, well out of the way of Roman soldiers and temple guards. Doesn't make much sense that he was comforting the frightened women and then giving them a message for his brothers. I think it's safe to assume that those who wrote and edited Matthew's gospel were men. Why else would the women not be praised for their courage and faithfulness in simply being there? I think it's far more likely that Christ said something like, "Greetings, my sisters. It's so good to see you and your courage, faith, and love. When you go back to the others, tell them to come to Galilee, where I will see all of you again." Take a few moments to consider all the ways that the message of Christ is distorted by individual and collective points of view. And what of our point of view regarding the risen Christ? How was it formed? By what and by whom? Do we see him clearly or at all? Are we disciples that are as dynamically and directly connected with Christ as the women in the cemetery that first Easter? Or are we separated from him by a largely unexamined, mostly impenetrable web of unconsidered assumptions, habits and behaviors that haven't been addressed in far too long, or maybe ever? Or are we like the men, just plain scared? I'm deeply grateful to have once visited Galilee, I found it amazingly non-commercial and undeveloped. As I looked around, I couldn't help but think that the region is not nearly as altered by 2,000 years of human activity as is much of the rest of the world. I relished the warm, sunny climate, the hills around the sparkling sea, and every stone and tree, field and path. It was obvious why this was the place of Jesus' heart, the place where he told his disciples to meet him, to truly see him after the resurrection. I'm reminded of Gerard Manley Hopkins' wonderful poem, God's Grandeur. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, oh, morning, at the brown brink eastward, springs. Because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings. Hopkins was a man of his age, and therefore we forgive him the sexist language, something it's all the easier to do because of the breathtaking scope of his vision of God alive in the world. In our world, over which humankind has trod and trod, has seared, bleared, and smeared, God's warm breast still broods with bright wings. Do we walk upon earth charged with God's grandeur? Or are the soles of our feet and our individual souls so heavily shod with assumptions and misconceptions about God that we no longer feel what Christ wants us to feel and touch and see? What do we need to remove from our feet, our eyes, our minds, our ears, and our hearts in order to meet the risen Christ and fully receive him? There is little we can do to stop Russia's evil imperialism. The all-consuming corporate greed of the developed world, or the general stupidity, hubris, and selfishness of those who break the world over and over again, anew each day, by their sinfulness. But there is something profoundly important that we can do every day in spite of it all. With those courageous women of the first Easter as our examples and guides, we can get up, either literally or figuratively, from where we sit cowed and afraid, and go looking for the risen Christ. If we do, we will find him, because all who look for him find him. And he will greet us, welcome us into his presence, and give us the message of the morning, of the day, of the week. He will remind us of the gifts of Galilee, of a world still charged with the grandeur of God, despite all that we have done and are doing to it. And he will fill us with hope. His presence in our hearts will tell us where to see him, what to do, and how to make him known in the tiny universe of our individual lives.